Hello, everybody. Welcome. I hope you're all doing really well. And I'm so happy to be here with all of you today. I can't believe it's already our fifth class in this series of eight classes. Where is the time going? All right, so I'm really looking forward to what we're going to be looking at on our call today. And I should just say before we jump in, today is going to be our last call before we have a break for a couple of weeks for the holidays. And just so that you know a little bit where I am over the next couple of weeks. So I'm around and in the office until December 19th, until this Thursday, and then I'm going to be out. I'm officially coming back the 3rd of January, so I'll be out for about 2 weeks. Well, my guess is that I'm going to check in on Facebook before then, probably a couple days before then, because usually after a week of being unplugged, I tend to kind of start to get curious. So if you need me, I should be around for sure, starting New Year's, something like that. Okay, so today we're moving into our Creating Awareness module, and this is going to be a two-call module, and it's an important one. It's a really big one. So what is creating awareness, and why is creating awareness so important? Well, creating awareness is literally the act of supporting your clients to see something about themselves and their situation that they were not previously able to see, which, by the way, is a breakthrough, right? Or it's the act of supporting your client in being able to acknowledge and accept something about themselves and their situation that they were not previously able to acknowledge or accept, which is also a form of a breakthrough. Creating awareness can also be the act of supporting your client in being able to more deeply embrace something about themselves or their situation, and something that will help them become more confident, more clear, more able, or more open, which, again, is another way of creating a breakthrough. Creating awareness is also a strategy that allows your clients to feel seen, heard, and loved even more deeply, because it allows the both of you, both the practitioner and the client, to see your client more clearly and to hold your client in that clarity. Creating awareness can support your clients to see their blind spots, their patterns, their achievements, their gaps, their obstacles, their inner answers, to see their talents more clearly, to see their truest desires more clearly. And of course, again, all of these things are the makings of being able to catalyze breakthroughs. In so many ways, creating awareness skills are the most powerful way to create breakthroughs. And even though I teach a lot of, we can call them fancy techniques, the resistance, how to navigate resistance archetypes, how to work with shadow, how to help clients befriend their fear, how to help clients rewire their negative thought patterns. Even though, in Sacred Depths, I teach all of those fancier concepts, the truth is 90% of the time, you don't actually need the fancier concepts. If you've got great creating awareness skills, you have what it takes to catalyze really powerful breakthroughs. The other piece is you actually can't master those other techniques that I teach, the fancier ones, if you don't really know how to create awareness in masterful ways. Creating awareness is part and parcel of all of that. And you guys have a bonus training from me, a recording on how to navigate resistance archetypes with yourself and with your clients, and that will be released soon. And I always release that training after we look at creating awarenesses, because as you will see, there's no way to navigate the resistance archetypes if you don't know how to create awareness really well with clients. So creating awareness can sometimes help catalyze a breakthrough in an instant. And just take a moment and think on if this has ever happened for you. Maybe someone could be a coach, a practitioner, a friend, a colleague, a family member has reflected something back to you, has created an awareness for you. And in an instant, just like because that awareness was created, all of a sudden you could see so much more, or you were motivated in new ways, where you felt you could do things differently than you had before. I have so many stories on this, and I'll just share you one to illustrate it for you. So back when I was a beginner entrepreneur, I was doing a lot of networking and, you know, looking for different colleagues to network with to see how we could support each other and share each other's work and so on and so forth. And I got connected through a colleague. I got connected through one of her colleagues, and she, you know, she had said to me, "I think you and this woman are going to just really hit it off. I think you could support each other in your businesses. There's a lot of synergy. You know, I really want the two of you to meet." And this woman, I was living in Brooklyn at the time, and this woman lived across the country in Salt Lake City, I think. In any event, you know, we kind of corresponded over email, and we made a date to speak on the phone. And we got on the phone, and we had a lovely conversation. It was just really like a deep, beautiful heart connection. It was a very good match that our mutual colleague had made. You know, we were on the phone for a while, probably 45 minutes, something like that. And we kind of strategized on ways that we might support each other and share each other's work and, you know, all the things. And then before we got off the phone, this woman, who, again, like I had just met, she said to me, "You know, I want to tell you something, and I hope it's okay to share this." She said, "You know, before we got on the phone, I took a look at your website, and I almost didn't keep this meeting because your photographs, the photos of you on your website, they just, I don't know, they didn't really say much about you. You looked a little bit like you were hiding and maybe not even so happy to be seen in those photographs. And I just want you to know, after speaking with you for the last, you know, however long it was, 45 minutes, there's just such a mismatch between your headshots and who you are. You are clearly a woman of depth and incredibly warm and insightful and you know, all these things. And I just, like, I'm not seeing them in your photos." So, you know, and then she said, "You can get in touch with this person to get better photos." Or I forget what it was. It was actually get in touch with this person for, 'cause clothing, you know, whatever it was. And so she shared this with me, and I'll just share with you guys. I was momentarily stunned when she shared this with me. Like, I did have a couple of moments of minor shame, right, that came up when this, you know, pretty much near stranger just shared. And she shared it very lovingly, by the way, you know. It wasn't shaming the way she shared it. It was really beautiful the way she shared it. But, of course, I had moments and went into fear and, oh, my God, what must people think and all these things. But because she really did share it in such a loving way, and because of, you know, inner work that I had done myself, obviously, I was able to kind of allow that momentary shame to slide away and to really kind of take a look at what she had said. And it was a breakthrough. It was a breakthrough for me because I went and I looked at my photos, my headshots, and I could see right away she was on the nose about it. I wasn't looking at the camera in any of the photos. I happened to have, like, a lot of hair. I hid behind my hair. Even what I was wearing, it was very, it did not portray, it was like a black and white old lady blazer. You know, I was in my early 30s at the time. There was no vibrancy to it. The look on my face was very coy. And I thought about what she had said to me, that it looked like I was hiding, right? And she wasn't even coaching me, right? This was just in conversation. And I said to myself, well, am I hiding? You know, am I hiding? And again, like, big breakthrough, like, oh my gosh, I've been hiding 100% in my business. I am scared of being seen. I'm scared that I'm going to be judged. I'm scared that I'm going to be persecuted. You know, I come from a Jewish lineage with a Holocaust background. I could see right away how that fear of being seen and persecuted was so baked in to, like, the photos and then so many other elements of my business in terms of how willing I was to reveal myself, you know, all of it. And that conversation, that bit of her creating awareness for me was really the start of a healing process for me, for sure, because I had to look at, you know, why I was so scared of being visible and heal that. But it was also a breakthrough to begin giving myself permission to be way more seen and visible and heard in my marketing. And that's what kickstarted, you know, one of the things that really kickstarted how I was able to grow my business, right? So hopefully that story just helps illustrate for you the power of creating awareness and the breakthroughs that it can yield. I'm going to tell just one other short story. It's another colleague story, and this one is less dramatic, but again, just to, like, really illustrate some of this for you. A number of years ago, when all of my programming was just straight up about marketing and business coaching, of course, all of the inner work was baked in there because that's the heart of what I do, but I wasn't doing coach trainings or facilitator trainings or anything like that. You know, all of my programming was geared towards more marketing, and I remember I was having a conversation with a colleague, and I was telling her about my clients and my students and the kind of successes that they were having in their businesses and the kind of successes that they were having with their own clients in the work that they were doing and the breakthroughs they were creating, you know, all of that. And my colleague, this was in person, my colleague looked straight at me, and she said, you know, it sounds like your clients are doing amazing work and really yielding incredible results with their own clients. And that's just so rare for the industry. I don't think this is random. What are you teaching them between the lines that's helping them create such great results in their own client work, with their own clients? And it hit me, as soon as she said that, it was like, boom, so much opened up for me. What I saw right away, it was a moment of creating awareness that yielded a massive breakthrough for me. It was so offhanded, right? She didn't even realize, I don't think, what she was doing necessarily, but it helped me see, like, oh my gosh, so much of what I'm actually teaching my clients and my students behind the scenes are how to be better practitioners. And that's what had me really kind of shift my messaging and my offering to what it is now, and of course brought the next level of growth to my business. So the ability to support a client, or even in the cases that I just shared, colleagues, right, or friends or family members, but the ability to support another human being to create awareness and then to yield breakthroughs from that awareness stems directly from being a deep and masterful listener. You just can't create awareness on something that you haven't actually heard from your client. You also can't support your clients in creating awareness if you're operating with unchecked filters, right? And so that's why we always, it doesn't matter if I'm working with new practitioners or very, very seasoned and masterful practitioners, we always are going to look at listening skills because they form the basis for being able to create awareness. So my coaching philosophy, or the sacred depths philosophy, and how I approach my clients is that I want to create, as a practitioner, I want to create an environment where my clients can be as aware of themselves and their situation as possible before we move on to the strategizing part of the session or the process or the coaching journey. I'm going to say that again. I want to create an environment and a coaching container where my clients can become as aware of themselves and their situation as possible before we move into strategizing. And that's because when your clients are not fully aware of their situation or how they're responding in it, then there's too much that can end up in their blind spots. And if there are things in their blind spots, then strategizing kind of becomes a moot topic in a way, because you'll either strategize something great, but there's going to be resistance, right, because they've got stuff in their blind spots, or you're not going to co-create a sound strategy because there's too many things in the blind spots. So this doesn't mean that we belabor creating awareness. I always, actually, in pretty much every client session that I do, we do strategize on next steps, all of that. I can think of a handful of over thousands of sessions where we haven't strategized in one way or another, but some sessions we do a lot more strategizing than others too. But there's always, my philosophy again is, we always want to create as much awareness as we can first for the best possible outcome and execution of the strategizing. So there are a number of different ways as a practitioner that you can create awareness. All of them are really juicy and powerful. And I'm just going to quickly name the different ways right now. So one of the first ways that you can create awareness with clients is to ask questions that illuminate the truth. And that's, we're going to look at that. That's going to be our last module in Catalyzing Breakthroughs. We're going to look deeply at breakthrough questioning. The second way that you can create awareness as a practitioner is by doing what I call reflecting the truth. And we're going to be focusing on that mainly today, reflecting the truth. Another way that you can create awareness as a practitioner is through consulting. That's a subset of reflecting the truth, and we'll take a look at that today as well. Another way of creating awareness as a practitioner is through acknowledging. And there's two types of acknowledging. There's celebrating is one kind of acknowledging, and honoring what is. We're going to be looking at that in our next session, both of those, all the different ways of acknowledging as a way of creating awareness. Another way that you can create awareness as a practitioner is through personal anecdote and storytelling. We're going to touch into that today as well. And then there's a whole other way of creating awareness around that has to do with myth and metaphor and archetype. We don't cover that in this program. I devote a whole retreat to that in the full Sacred Depths training. All right, so most of the time, this is important, most of the time you want to create awareness by asking really good questions, by asking questions that illuminate the truth, by asking breakthrough questions. In many cases, this is the preferable way of creating awareness because when an individual hits on an awareness on their own without being told, it can often, not always, but often make a deeper impression and impact and be taken in more deeply than if they were simply told. Oftentimes, the client can own the new awareness more and have it really turn into a breakthrough if they say it first themselves. And for anyone that has ever been around children or observed children, we know that this is often true, right? So, you know, I've got two kids, and as an example, there's such a difference between me telling them to put on a coat because it's cold outside versus them going outside, freezing their butts off, and then realizing that, you know, when it's really cold out, they need a jacket, right? They just take that in because they hit upon that truth themselves. They just take it in so much more deeply. So you often, not always, but often want to go with questioning first, with questions that illuminate the truth, with breakthrough questions. We'll get to those after the new year. But sometimes the piece of awareness that wants to be created is just so deep in your client's blind spot, or so deeply ignored by your client, or resisted by your client, that questioning alone just won't do the trick. You need another way. Or sometimes the awareness is something that you as the practitioner know, but your client doesn't yet know because you've actually had experience with it, and your client hasn't. It's your expertise, right? That's where consulting comes into play. And yet other times, you're just going to simply feel intuitively that reflecting the truth directly and clearly, as opposed to asking questions, is what's going to make the most impact. It's almost like sometimes when you just reflect the truth directly and clearly, it can be more dramatic, almost like a dramatic heightened moment that allows the client to open up, to break open, and to really take in the awareness and move to the breakthrough. So again, we don't want to use straight up reflecting the truth as the default. I'm going to, you know, it's hard to put percentages on things, so I'm going to say like really 70, 75% of the time, you probably want to use questioning skills and techniques. But every now and again, in my opinion, straight up reflecting is what's necessary. Now, there are some coaches or practitioners that are going to say to never, ever, ever straight up reflect the truth, only ever ask questions. I'm going to let you decide for yourself after we move through the creating awareness module how you feel about that. All right, so all of that being said, let's dive deep into this skill of reflecting the truth, which again is one way of creating awareness. Reflecting the truth is literally when you straight up share with your client what you are seeing or sensing based on your deep listening skills. It may be based on who your client is. It may be based on wisdom that you've gleaned from your particular experience in life. So let me give you some just examples of situations for reflecting the truth. And just so you know how we're going to flow for the rest of the day, I'm going to kind of continue to lay out kind of the foundational principles of reflecting the truth. Then we're going to do some inner work, and then I'm going to give you actually like the straight up skills and instruction on how to reflect the truth. There's a couple different ways. All right, so here's some examples. Let's say you're working with a client and you hear your client is telling you, it may be over the course of one session or a number of sessions, she speaks about her partner who she's still in a relationship with, and you really hear, your client doesn't realize this, but you hear that in some ways your client has never really forgiven her partner for an affair that this partner had 10 years back, and you see that it's really getting in the way of their relationship now, right? That's something you're going to want to create awareness around. It's vital to wherever the client wants to get to in the relationship, and it's vital to the breakthrough. Here's another example. Let's say you've got a client who has come to you because she wants to lose 10 pounds. But over the course of a session or a number of sessions, as you listen, you hear that she doesn't actually want to lose 10 pounds. It actually sounds much more like what her mother wants for her and expects from her than her, right? That's something that you're going to want to create awareness around. I'll give you a couple more examples. Let's say you hear a client is either sharing about one particular situation on a session, or possibly you hear this as a pattern over a number of sessions. You hear that your client is really overgiving, like giving to someone else, could be a colleague or a family member, whatever it is, way more than they should be. and that their overgiving is really causing them harm and causing a lot of problems, right? But your client doesn't see this. This is something you want to create awareness around. It's vital to the breakthrough and to the next steps and to the co-creating results. Or maybe you hear over a number of sessions as your client shares that every time she accomplishes something, it's like right away, as soon as she accomplishes it, the next, her pattern is then she does something to self-sabotage, right? To just knock herself down. She doesn't see this. She just thinks like all of the self-sabotage is just like a series of, you know, crappy things that are happening to her, but you start to see so clearly this pattern of accomplishing something big and then self-sabotage, right? That's something that you're going to want to create awareness around. The client needs that information, and that information is potentially a breakthrough to a different way of being in her life. And then sometimes, as I said, reflecting the truth has to also do with your own expertise, with wisdom or information that you have gleaned through your own life experience or education or whatever it is. And it's something that your client, until you do create the awareness around it, your client just doesn't have that expertise. So they don't know, right? So sometimes, this is one that happens sometimes when I'm coaching, you know, a client will share to me she wants to do this and she wants to do that and she wants, you know, all these things she wants to do in her business. And I know from my own expertise, there's actually not enough time in a day, in a week, let alone a day, for her to accomplish everything she wants to accomplish, right? But maybe she's new to business and she doesn't know that. It's an unrealistic expectation. That's something that I'm going to want to reflect the truth on, right? Create awareness around. It's actually vital for this client being able to achieve the results that she wants. Or here's another example from my own expertise. You know, sometimes I'll have a client who really wants to raise her rates. So it's like, my rates are too low, I want to raise them. But she hasn't been doing the necessary work on improving her sales call skills. And so that's something I'm going to point out to her, like, yes, of course, we're going to raise your rate, but you have to also work on those sales call skills if you're going to raise your rate. So hopefully you can start to see just from these few examples, sometimes the truth that is asking to be reflected, sometimes the awareness that is needed to be created, isn't an easy truth or awareness for your client to hear. It's not easy, right? It may not be easy for a client to really take in and take a look at that she's never forgiven her partner for something, or that her overgiving is causing her harm, or that she wants to, everything she wants to accomplish may not be able to be accomplished over the next week, right? And so this is another reason why, even though reflecting the truth, just like the straight up reflecting it, can seem quicker than questioning, using your questioning skills to create the awareness, sometimes creating the awareness via questioning can be a little bit easier, because again, sometimes hard truths are easier heard when the client says them on their own first than when they're told the hard truth. But again, for today, I want to focus on not on the getting there through the questioning, but getting there through the reflecting, because again, there are moments where it's going to be most effective when we as practitioners reflect the hard truth back. Now, I want you to, when you are reflecting hard truths, to be able to do so powerfully and productively and in a way so that the way that you share really lands deeply with your client as opposed to creating shame or anger, you know, all those things. And so in order to do that, and again, towards the end of the call, we'll get to the actual skill, but so in order to do that, I want you to have a firm understanding first of the different ways that human beings respond, or I should say react sometimes, when being presented with a harder truth, with a truth that's harder to take in. One way that some human beings respond is they, and this is the easy way, they get it, they hear it, they understand it immediately, they have a breakthrough, and they integrated it, right? Like, that's the easy peasy. Sometimes that happens, and that's awesome. Other times, human beings respond to being presented with a hard truth by getting angry, right, or defensive, or going into denial about it, right? And even evolved people can sometimes do that, right? It's not like, I'm only going to work with clients who are not going to get defensive or angry or go into denial, right? Because I share even for myself, right? Like, I teach this, and I've worked so hard on not getting defensive, you know, and sometimes I still do, right? So we need, if we're going to be masterful practitioners that catalyze breakthroughs, we need to know that that is a possible reaction, right? And to understand that human behavior so that when we reflect the truth, we do all that we can to mitigate that. Another way that some people respond with being, when they're presented with a hard truth, is that they go into self-judgment or victimhood or hopelessness, right? It's like they hear the thing and then they just think it's like the end of the world, like there's no hope. You know, it's just not going to get better, right? Which, of course, is not true, but that's just another response or reaction, right? And then one other way that I want you to be aware of, sometimes when people are being presented with a hard truth, it's so hard to bear that they check out or they get confused. So again, that's why you want to be really skilled and clear on how to reflect the truth so that you have the best chances when you are reflecting the truth of having the client hear it, get it, understand it, and have a breakthrough awareness and integrate it. So before we get to those mechanics, though, of how to do it in these ways, I do want to take a look at the difficulties that a practitioner might have when they are faced with a moment of, you know, should I reflect this hard truth to a client? I want to take a look at the difficulties that as practitioners might come up for us. Because the mechanics of how to reflect the truth are actually pretty simple. You'll see when I share them with you. But it's the inner stuff, it's the energetics that can make things wonky and detract from a masterful delivery of reflecting the truth. So, what are the difficulties that practitioners, that kind of hold practitioners back from reflecting hard truths, or that kind of make the delivery weird or wonky? Well, it's oftentimes because the practitioner has a fear of hurting others or harming others or has a fear that others are going to get angry or upset with them, right? So if you have anything going on inside of you where you're scared to hurt a client or harm a client, or you're scared of a client's anger or upset at you, it is going to make it difficult to be able to reflect a hard truth or reflect it effectively in a way that's going to be really powerful for that client. And so that's why I want to, you know, take a little bit of a look at this so that we can clean some of that up and bring some more of our own awareness to this. I'll just give you, I just want to share a short story that will kind of help with this first. I want to give you, this is an example from my own coaching, right? I'm giving you this example because even those of you in this training who are very seasoned practitioners, as I am, right, and you can be really skilled at reflecting hard truths, you know, sometimes it can give us pause, right? Or I'll speak for myself. Sometimes it can even give me pause, right? I always find deeper places to lean into here. And so I'll tell you a little bit of a client story. So this happened about a year ago. And I have a client who I've been working with for a number of years. I've been working with her now for easily 6 or 7 years. And through the years in our work together, I've really trained her and taught her how to be an incredibly skilled and masterful facilitator in her own right. And, you know, she's at the point now where she leads incredible retreats that just, like, bring her participants to their knees. I mean, there's just these amazing, amazing, incredible, masterful retreats. So I've been working with her for a long time, and about a year ago, a little before a year ago, I started to notice that, you know, when we had first started working together, I helped her a lot with her curriculum. We would do a lot of curriculum work to help prepare for her retreats and her ideas and fleshing out the ideas and what kinds of experiential exercises would, you know, pack the most punch and yield the most emotion, you know, all the things. And then she went through a couple of years of not needing my help that much with curriculum. And then I started to notice that she all of a sudden started to need a lot of hand-holding when it came to developing her curriculum. She was second-guessing herself a lot in the ideas that she was developing, and really needing, like, we were spending a lot of our sessions on curriculum building again, which there's nothing wrong with that, but there was something about it that didn't feel right to me for her because she was so skilled at that point at it. It's something that she was really masterful. And I could see so, so, so clearly that this kind of, like, taking a couple steps back into needing the hand-holding and the second-guessing herself was really because her business was growing so much and she was becoming so visible that she was having some fear around really sitting on her throne, you know, being in her queen self and deeply claiming her brilliance and her mastery. You know, she's having fear around that. And so it was almost like she was using my support on the curriculum as a crutch for that, to be able to step into that next place of visibility and leadership without being in too much fear. And so, of course, you know, being the coach that I am and with the Sacred Depths philosophy, like, I absolutely knew that I wanted to create this awareness for this client. I wanted to reflect this truth to her because I knew that it would open up her ability to see this pattern that was showing up for her, which would then allow us to do deep work around her claiming her next level of her own empowerment and visibility and growth and success and leadership and, you know, all the things, right? But here's the thing. I knew that it would be a sensitive topic for me to just share with her, hey, you know, you've been using me as a crutch. You know, it's too much. It seems like a lot of hand holding here. And the reason why I knew that this would be a sensitive topic is because through all the years of the work that we've done, you know, we looked a lot at her attachment style, and I knew that in a lot of ways I had, you know, we had used our coaching container for her to learn that she could have reliable people in her life and to be willing to rely on other people. And she had made so much progress with that in her relationships and all of that. And so I knew that I had to be really delicate in how I shared this with her because I didn't want her to get triggered, right? To feel like I was rejecting her, saying I didn't want to help her in this way, or you're not being reliable. So it was a hard truth, right? And anyway, the reason why I'm sharing this story is it gave me some pause, right? Even though I'm really good at reflecting hard truths, there was more mastery for me to gain in this situation because I did momentarily go into this fear of, oh my gosh, I'm going to trigger her and she's going to get insulted, you know, and she's going to get upset and, you know, the things, right? So this can happen even if we're really seasoned practitioners. And actually, this fear in this situation, like, I definitely put it off for a session or two. I had to do my own inner work a little bit. I knew getting over the fear, right? Which I did. And then I'll just quickly tell you what I did. Then I got to a place after a week or two, whatever it was, I did work. And I was able to show up and really hold the space and reflect the truth to her. And it was miraculous. It was a massive, massive breakthrough moment for her because, of course, it was about so much more than just she had been needing more hand-holding around her curriculum, right? This was about her getting to the next place of owning her experience, owning her brilliance, owning her power, being willing to be seen. And the result was not only her running around in circles, second-guessing herself and needing, you know, to put all this extra time and energy into sharing all of the curriculum development with me, but the other result from that work that we did and from my willingness to reflect that hard truth with her, even though there was some fear of her getting upset, is that it allowed her to ultimately show up even bigger in her business and in her visibility, which led to much more income generation. So, again, even if you're really good at all of this, don't tune out for it because there's always deeper places to lean into here. So reflecting hard truths can require bravery. It does require bravery. It requires checking your own filters and your own fears and your own beliefs about what hurts others, harms others, gets them angry. Reflecting hard truths require resolve and love and compassion for yourself and for your client. It requires taking a stand for your client. And it requires courage, which can sometimes be hard, right, as practitioners. But of course, courage, as you might know, the word for courage comes from the root, the Latin root cor, or French, Latin, I'm not sure. But anyway, it comes from the root of the word cor, which means heart. We activate our courage when we activate our hearts and our love and our compassion. Being able to reflect harder truths also require for you to be comfortable holding space for someone who is uncomfortable. Because not always, but sometimes the confrontation with a hard truth can make a client temporarily feel uncomfortable inside of themselves. And that's just natural response to a hard truth, right? Like back to my headshots, when she reflected that truth to me, when my colleague reflected that truth to me, I did have momentary discomfort. I did. Sometimes reflecting a truth can temporarily, if you do it well, it's not going to last long, but it may temporarily, a client may end up feeling a little judgmental of themselves or maybe feel regret around something, or it may make them feel sad. You don't want to be scared of these things. You actually want to be open and willing and ready to lean in to these things. Or else it's going to be very hard to reflect truth. As a practitioner, you kind of need to be willing to sit in the shadows with your clients, to hold space, and to not feel like you want to run away from whatever discomfort arises. The breakthroughs follow the discomfort. When you can sit with a client in their discomfort and lovingly be with it and with your client in full presence, then so much can happen. And when you know that you can do that, that knowing actually allows you to be more, you become more willing to reflect these hard truths that can create such big breakthroughs. Okay, so I'm sure all of these things sound great, but again, our inner stuff can get in the way. So let's do just a little bit of inner work and journaling around this, and then we'll get to the actual mechanics of how to reflect the truth. I'll give you some journaling questions. First question is, what fears come up for you when you consider sharing hard truths as you see them? This can be with your clients or with friends or with family. Like, I'm so much better at this in my work with clients than I am with family members, right? So for the sake of this exploration and inner development, you can just consider any realm, right? What fears come up for you when you consider sharing hard truths as you see them with others? Take a moment on that one. Next question. How often was the truth named in your family growing up? How often was the truth named in your family growing up? And when there was a truth to be shared, how was it? How was the truth shared? Was it supportive or not supportive? So do a little exploration around in your family of origin how reflecting the truth was handled or not handled. do you have experiences of being told a hard truth but having it delivered with love and compassion? Or other ways? How is it handled in your family? Question. How do you take in, receive, and respond to feedback or hard truths that others share with you? When other people share or reflect hard truths with you, how do you take it in, receive it, respond? Do you respond? Do you react? How do you handle it? Next question. How do your family members, can either be from growing up or even currently, how do your family members take in, receive, and respond to reflecting the truth when the truth is reflected to them? How do they take in, receive, respond? Next question. I've got two more. Next question is, what comes up for you when you think about holding space for somebody who is very uncomfortable? What comes up for you when you think about holding space for someone who is in extreme discomfort? And then last question for now, what would you need to believe in order to see your clients as resilient? What would you need to believe in order to really see your clients as resilient? Let's pause here for a moment, and I'd love to hear from one or two of you what you're seeing so far, what you're learning so far, what's coming into focus for you. We're a small group today, so don't be shy to raise your hand. It's star 2. What are you seeing that's important for you so far? Star two. Anyone want to share? I'd love to hear. Or if you have any questions so far. We're going to get to how to reflect the truth a couple different ways in a few minutes. But I've been talking a lot. I'd love to hear your voice. What are you seeing so far? Star two. Is this Emily?
Yes. Hello. Good afternoon.
Hey. Hi.
Hi. So I guess, thank you. The journaling questions were very helpful. For me, what I was seeing was coming through is that, you know, a defensiveness, you know, like how I maybe respond or react. And so it's that defensiveness or embarrassment, like, oh my gosh, I was wrong, or I did something wrong, or I, you know, and that protection, like, you know, I get mad first because I want to protect because I'm embarrassed. And but then it just takes some time to allow the truth to come through and to sift through. And that just once there's time there, then there's more of a comfort with it. And that, you know, it's a good reflection for me when I'm sitting in that space with clients and just reminding them ahead of time, like, hey, this could happen. You could feel this way, and that's perfectly okay and great, you know? So
yes, exactly. That was actually going to be the exact thing that I was going to ask next. So how can that help you, right, be a more effective, hold up more powerful and more effective space to reflect truth with clients? And absolutely, like, just knowing that they may go into that defensiveness, and just knowing that, like, it may take a few moments, right, for it to sink in, like, just that alone, for as practitioners, it's so important for us to know that and kind of prepare for that, right? And then we may just want to pre-qualify on that too as well. Energy follows energy. If we as practitioners are comfortable with our clients' defensiveness, or are comfortable with the fact that it takes a little while for them to integrate something hard, then that paves the way for them to become more comfortable with all of it too.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, thank
Beautiful.
You. Thanks for coming forward. Anyone else want to share? I'd love to hear from one more person. Star two, what are you seeing? Going once, going twice. All right, then we'll move on. So, all that being said, how do you reflect harder truths? Well, I'm going to share with you some techniques. All of the techniques have some kind of pre-pieces. So I'm going to share the pre-pieces first. Number one, a really good question for you to keep top of mind as a practitioner during a session, or even this is something you can just kind of like ask yourself after a client session that you may want to then bring into the next session, is what is my client not seeing, accepting, owning, or fully embracing that would create a pathway to their growth or results? What is my client not seeing, accepting, owning, or fully embracing that would create a pathway to their growth or results? If you can answer this question for any client at any given moment, and then bring it into the conversation with them, reflect that truth to them, I guarantee you it will lead you to the next breakthrough and the next evolution of their growth. So it is a question that we just always want to keep top of mind. The next piece of prep work is once you know what that thing is, right, after asking that question or listening, you know that there's a truth that wants to be created awareness around, then the next thing is almost always, as we said earlier, ask enough questions first to see if they can come to the awareness on their own, right? Unless you have this strong intuition that it's just you need to go straight into the reflecting the truth. And there are those moments, again, for drama, right? Purposes and, like, piercing the moment, right? But a lot of times you're going to want to see if they can come to it on their own. You also want to check in with your inner wisdom on whether or not the client is ready to hear the truth. Right, and this isn't a perfect science, but you want to kind of know who the client is. Always coach the what based on the who, right? Know who they are. Do they seem ready? Also, like, that particular day, are they ready? What's their mood that day? If they're already defensive or upset about other things, you know, is that the right moment or not, right? You want to take all of that into consideration. Next piece, before you get to the actual reflecting of the truth, be willing to be wrong. Be willing to be wrong. So this is like one of my core sacred depths philosophies, like practitioner philosophies, right? I am going to listen deeply and masterfully. I'm going to see the awarenesses that I want to create that I think are the truth with a capital T. But as a practitioner, I am still a human being. I still have my own filters, and I am not all-knowing, and I could very well be wrong about that truth. And that's okay. It's more than okay to reflect a truth and then have that truth be wrong, have it not be the truth. You actually want to, and I'll show you how when we look at the actual delivery, you want to leave open the option to be wrong. Even when you are wrong, if delivered with love and with the willingness to be wrong, it will activate your client to become aware of what is their truth. It will still yield a breakthrough. It's like this magic thing that can happen. So in order to be willing to be wrong, you as the practitioner may need to do some inner work here, right? Inner work around your beliefs. Do you have any beliefs that as a practitioner, you need to be quote unquote right all the time? Do you have any beliefs around not feeling valid or not feeling enough if you're not right all the time? And I'll just share with you, like, the more seasoned I become as a practitioner, the more experienced I become as a practitioner, the more evolved I become as a practitioner, the more and more willing and totally comfortable I am with not being right all the time. Right? It's like you actually can't become more masterful, I really believe, unless you become more and more comfortable with not needing to be right. It's not a productive conversation if you're right all the time. You know, back to our very first call on energetics and, you know, mutual respect and the openness for new solutions to come forward. If you as a coach are always right, then it closes off opportunities for really powerful brainstorming with your client and co-exploring solutions. And the next piece of pre-work you want to do before you reflect the truth is reconnect to your love for your client and to the trust that your client is whole and complete exactly as they are. Right? There's no way to reflect a hard truth if you are not actively loving and trusting and respecting your client, it's going to come off weird, or like you're on your high horse, or like you're guruing them, if that love and that trust and that respect isn't there, right? And then along with that, of course, make sure you've got an equal playing field. If it's skewed to where you think your client is better than you, then you're not going to have the confidence and the courage to share what you're seeing. If it's skewed to where you think that you're better than your client, then you really do run the risk of guruing them and disempowering them. And I have certainly been on the receiving end of that. I won't go into any, you know, stories on that today, but I have been on the receiving end of guruing, where the teacher or the coach like thought they knew my truth, and you know, were pointing out to me in a way where there was no room for them to be wrong, and they were kind of like on their high pedestal, and it just was not my truth, and I could feel that they were on their high pedestal, and it didn't work for me at all. Okay, so that's all the prep work for reflecting the truth, and the more that you do this, the more all of that's just going to happen, I'm snapping my fingers, like automatically, right? I don't, you know, you're not going to need necessarily to take the time to do all of that, but I just want you to be aware of all of those pieces. So with all of those pieces in place, when you're ready to reflect the hard truth, I'm going to give you three different kind of outlines of ways that you can do this. So first way has three steps. First step is you always want to ask permission. Because getting permission kind of gives you the green light and more, what's the word? Like your client is in it with you, right? So here's just one way, example of how to get permission. You can say something like, there's something that I'm noticing about what you're sharing that you may or may not be aware of. Would you be open to me sharing this with you? Right? That may not be your languaging. Adapt it for yourself, right? But some kind of asking permission. I'm hearing something that I think is really important. Can I share it with you? Right? Something like that. Ask permission. And then number two, what you want to say next is, I may not be getting this correct, and I totally trust your inner wisdom, so you let me know if it resonates for you. But I've noticed X, right? And then that's where you reflect the actual truth. I've noticed X. I've noticed you tend to self-sabotage every time you have a success. Or I notice you're such a confident person, but when it comes to networking, it's like you lose all of your confidence. And then the next piece is, am I getting that right? Okay, so you ask for permission, and then from there you leave open the option of being wrong, and you empower the client and the client's inner wisdom by saying, I may not be getting this right, I may not be getting this correct, I totally trust your inner wisdom, so you let me know if this resonates, right? And then from there you share the truth, I've noticed X, and then from there, am I getting that right? Or how does that land for you? Or is this resonating for you? Right? Sometimes I'll say, you know, is that resonating for you? Or if not, what other ideas is it sparking for you? Right? And then from there, you'll follow up with deeper questions and a deeper conversation about it. So that's one way of reflecting the truth. And by the way, you'll receive like a resource sheet with this, all of this laid out. Another way is through personal anecdote. Another way of reflecting the truth is you can do it with personal anecdote. Personal anecdote is a story from your own life personal story, or it can be a story from a client's life. Obviously, it would be confidential and anonymous, right? That you can tell, like, if you give the client this story, it will act as a reflection of the truth, right? It will like kind of open up a new awareness for them on their situation. And sometimes creating awareness or reflecting the truth with a personal anecdote can be incredibly powerful, particularly if it's a hard truth and if it's something where, like, your client, hopefully always your client will respect you and your experience. And, you know, like, sometimes if I see a client has a fear about something, that's when I'll use personal to show, like, I've had that fear too, right? Whatever it is. Now, it's important when you share the personal anecdote is you only want to share anecdote if it is actually really applicable, if you have already fully worked through it for yourself, and if it's you sense it's really going to create a zing when it comes to creating awareness. If it doesn't have those things, then it's just going to come up as like wasted space and time, where the client doesn't feel like the focus is on them, right? Which you don't want to have happen. So if you're going to reflect a hard truth by using personal anecdote, it would look like this. Again, start by asking permission to tell the anecdote. So that might sound something like, you know, your situation reminds me of something similar that happened to me. Can I share? I think it would be beneficial for your learning. Or however you want to language that, right? But you want to kind of like ask permission first to tell the anecdote. Then from there, the next step is to share the anecdote briefly. Do not give any more detail than what is necessary. Again, you don't want to take up so much space that the client feels like the focus isn't on them, right? Only give the details that count. Tell it briefly. And then from there, say, so what is this opening up for you? Or how might this relate to your situation? And then, again, right, remembering, like, you always leave the option to be wrong. You know, sometimes I'll say, how does this relate to your situation? Or why do you think I'm sharing this with you? Or what is this opening up for you? And if it doesn't resonate, let me know, because I could be totally off here, right? So, again, do it in a way that's really empowering for the client. And even if it's wrong, that it opens up options for other brainstorming, other breakthroughs, other activations to come forward. And then there's a third way that you can reflect hard truths. This way is kind of like half reflecting, half using your questioning skills. And what it is introducing language into your questioning that the client hasn't yet used as a way of reflecting a truth and creating awareness. So it's when you introduce language into your questions, that is pretty, I feel like the language is kind of radical and different. And that new language is reflecting a truth. So I'll give you an example. Let's say you're working with a client, and the client shares with you that they are working all the time. They are overworking. They don't want to overwork, but they just are working all the time anyway. It's taking over their lives. It's taking over their relationships. They're exhausted, you know, all the things, right? So this introducing language, new language that reflects a hard truth. Now, again, you know, obviously depends on context and the who and other things you're hearing, but you may say to that client, so when did you become addicted to working? Right? That's a question, but it's a reflection of a truth that you're hearing. You're hearing that this client is addicted addicted to their work. Instead of just stating it, you're working it like a zinger into the question. Or here's another example in that same situation. You might say something like, so when did you decide that you were going to risk everything in your life, even your health, even your relationship with your children, for your work? Right? That's a question. It's a valid question. But it's also reflecting a truth that you see, that this person is willing to risk everything for their work. All right. So I'm going to open up in a few minutes or a few moments for takeaways and for questions. Before I do that, let me give you guys some homework. Well, first of all, take a moment. We looked at a lot today. What are you taking away from the call? What feels most important for you? What are you seeing that's important for you? Just take a moment and write that down. All right. Here's your homework. So, first, just a reminder, I shared this at the beginning. I'll just share it again. I'm going to be out of the office. I'll be in the office till Thursday and then out of the office for 2 weeks. We're taking a break on calls for the next few weeks. You can catch up with homework, listen to bonus calls, and then we'll come back together the 6th of January. So you're going to get a worksheet that will help you go deeper with all of the concepts that we looked at in today's call. And you'll also get a resource sheet where I lay out kind of those 3 different ways of reflecting hard truths. Your other homework is when you're working with clients, or if you're working with a partner in this training, either way, I want you to practice reflecting a hard truth in your session, right? So I want you to go back to that top of mind question, what is my client not seeing, accepting, owning, or fully embracing? And practice reflecting the truth. If this is something that you already do and you already do well and you're very seasoned at it, lean in even more. Find some harder truth that maybe you've been avoiding out of fear, that actually would be really valuable to have a discussion around with your client. All right, so we have got a couple of minutes left, and I'd just love to hear if there are any questions before we wrap for today, and also, if you want to share what you're taking for yourself, star 2. Any questions or anything that wants to be shared before we wrap for today? All right. I'll trust that we're complete. Really look forward to hearing your takeaways from the call. Post them in the Facebook group. Let me know what I can help you with. And if you are celebrating any holidays, happy holidays. Talk to you soon. Bye.